From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, back together in the Clark Ford studio. I'm not having to stare at a hotel internet connection and hope that it holds up. So, good show today.
You stare at my internet connection and hope that it holds up.
We have no internet going on right now. We tape offline and then upload. I do not have internet. You're not aware of that, Mr. McCready? We've only done about 2,000 podcasts for you.
I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought this morning.
Yeah. If we have guests, we need internet. But just when it's two of us, yeah, nothing's hooked up to anything but a recorder currently. So we'll talk some baseball, talk some basketball probably. I don't know. Just whatever kind of comes up. Maybe we kind of feel like a Friday edition of this. Is there's a lot going on, but there's not really a lot going on in the last 24 hours. So we'll see what we can bring.
There's a lot rumored to be going on that is probably not actually really going on.
Welcome to our lives.
Yes. There's a lot of rumors.
What percentage? Okay, first, podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. They're going to start telling you it's Swayze Field, like State of the Pavilion. Get the bottomless refill with all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. It's just 49 cents. 49 cents to get a full fountain drink every time you pass a Blue Sky in Mississippi. The Oxford Exxon, Credit Gold, all those guys. Lunch specials for $4.99. And get some ribs maybe tonight. After the game, if you don't want to cook and you're a little hungry, you can stop on by, wet or dry ribs there at the Oxford Exxon. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get your quote. And you can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other podcast listeners. That's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast or any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line on your great deal at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
What percentage of what you hear do you think is actually true on a given day?
10%.
You think it's 10%?
At the most.
Even from people that have been right in the past, it's under 40%.
Oh, God, yes. Over under 40? I'm going to the bank. That's free money.
What percentage does a source have to hit for you to give viability to it being a great source?
Minimum of 90.
90 to be great?
Yeah.
I tell you, the little inside baseball here, people might care. The gap and the hard part for me is, and you know how this goes. I mean, because we get information from everywhere, and it's right sometimes from all sorts of places.
Sure.
It's the people that hit in that 40 to 65% range where you go, they know just enough. I've really got to check this out.
Yeah.
But then they're also wrong enough when you put 4 hours into it and it's nothing. You go, dang it. It's a very weird middle ground there.
And sort of like yesterday.
Well, to say that's the group that I hear a lot from all of a sudden in the last month or so, and it's like, oh my gosh, like occasionally there's something to it. Usually it's kind of like a game of gossip. There was a smidge of truth at some point at 8 o'clock in the morning, but by 4 o'clock when it gets to me, it's been tangled and woven in a lot of different directions by then where I'm having to kind of unpack it. I mean, I think had I not been on a flight yesterday, I'd had a little better idea of some stuff going on, but that thing had about 3.5 hours to marinate before I got off the plane, and it wasn't exactly the way I was hearing it when the day started.
No, and it's also two things, and I'm talking in general here, not specifically.
Yeah, not
about
a searches or anything.
People, without meaning to do it, subconsciously spin things to fit their agenda. And then on the official side, people get hung up on semantics. There will be a hang up about Thad Matta, for example. Did Thad Matta or did Thad Matta not turn down the Ole Miss job? The semantics will be, no, he didn't, because he was never officially offered the job.
No one has ever officially offered and turned down a job, ever.
And it's, okay, but you brought him in. You knew who he was when you brought him in. if he had sat in the office and said, I want it, probably be done by now. I'm keeping it real.
Well, yeah, it's just like the, I mean, in some ways, I mean, it's not 100% the same thing, but it's like the dude that came in from the pitching coach at Mississippi State that toured the campus and everything, then went back to Fullerton. Good chance he probably had the job if he'd like to have had the job.
He elected not to take it. There's this Mike White thing that's going on right now where I believe that Mike White, through at least some portion of the athletics program, essentially has a standing offer to take the gig. And because Mike, quote, hasn't said no yet, end quote, people think he's considering it. And maybe he is. I don't think he is. Not seriously, but Mike, as one person told me, is never going to say no. Well, if you call the girl and you ask her out and she says, let me think about it, and a month later she still hasn't called you back, it's a really nice no. It's a no. It's a nice no.
It's a non-confrontational no.
It's a... Hey, I'm going to drop you, but I'm going to put a pillow around you first. I don't want you to get hurt, but if you do, you do. So there's a little of that going on. There's a Tom Crean rumor out there. I spoke to someone affiliated with Georgia yesterday who said that's the name they hear. Now, they also hear Kermit Davis's name, which is interesting. But Georgia is scared of Kermit Davis for NCAA issues, which is odd. Anyway, and then I talked to someone else who's very connected in coaching circles who said that Tom Crean is, and I quote, rumored to be picking out the office furniture for his place in Athens. So I don't know. And if you're Ole Miss, where do you go from there? There's talk that all things being even, they would love to hire an African-American for that spot. Brings up the name Kelvin Sampson. Earl Grant at College of Charleston, who's playing for a conference title, I think, tonight. You hear Kermit Davis's name, but Davis is a guy that the carousel could end up working in his benefit. And you hear... Steve Forbes, their season ended last night. They lost 4 out of 5. They're not even going to the NIT. He could take the job today. I think Ross Bjork's already been out there to talk to him. We heard about a flight that Ross was on to Bristol, I think Virginia, which is right there near Johnson City. And haven't confirmed it, but I'm guessing that Ross didn't fly out there to check out the racetrack.
It's in Bristol, Tennessee.
Bristol, Tennessee and Bristol, Virginia are kind of the same place, right? Isn't that one of those border towns?
Is it?
I think. I don't know. I think the airport's in Virginia. It doesn't matter. He went to talk to Forbes. And I think he's talked to Kermit Davis. I do think he's had those meetings. And some people think Kermit really wants the Ole Miss job. In fact, most people think Kermit really wants the Ole Miss job. Enough for me to think that Kermit probably wants the Ole Miss job. And then there's some people that know Kermit who say, hey, if there are two jobs and one of them is Ole Miss, he'll take the other one because of the whole Mississippi State thing. Is that true? I don't know. Other people tell you that Kermit Davis is so pissed off at Mississippi State for the way they did him when they hired Rick Ray that he has an absolute axe to grind.
Yeah, I've heard both those.
I'll tell you this. For people who sat behind the benches and thought Andy Kennedy was rough to players, Andy Kennedy is a plush bear. One of those big, soft, expensive, gunned plush bears compared to Kermit Davis.
Like the kind you get if you really knock over the milk bottles at the carnival.
No, because at the fair, those are, good ones, the big, soft, good ones. Andy is one of those compared to Kermit Davis. Kermit Davis will MF you up and down the floor for 4 years. So those of you who think that that's going to be a difference in attitude, boy, you better not get your kids tickets. Or if you do, put them up in the upper level.
Courtside, not the spot.
Because let me go ahead and tell you, they're going to hear every variation of MF that you can hear.
Yeah, he makes John Brady look tame on the sideline.
Oh, he's rougher than Brady.
And Brady's rough.
Brady's funny.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, Davis is – he's a hell of a basketball coach.
And he's done a really good job of finding last chance guys that can be yelled at. That hey, we're all in this together. Now look,
he will
discipline the crap out of you. Now you're going
to
be very like I had somebody tell me the other day. You know, even in from a way they dress, even from a way that you know, there's not the headphones on the court. I mean, it's a very almost military type structure to Kermit Davis's teams.
And I do question. And I'm not alone in this, and I'm not saying I'm right, okay? But I do wonder, will that work at the SEC level? It works at Middle Tennessee, where you're building your roster around JUCO transfers and around last chance kids have no choice.
It's interesting we use that phrase because it from a basketball standpoint, it kind of reminds me of Scuba a little bit. Hey, you're coming here, you're in a spot where not a lot going on. We're in this together, bud. Here we go. Let's all get out together.
Hey, if you blow this chance, bud,
you're done.
You're done. I mean, you'll be lucky to be playing in Iran in 2 years. You want to play in the NBA? You want to play in the G League? You want to play in Europe and make some money? Take your headphones off. Let's start there. Oh, and I'm going to call you every name in the book. And you're just going to deal with it. Now, we're going to win. I mean, they've got a double bye. They're almost certainly in the tournament. I don't know. It's fascinating where Ole Miss goes. And the truth is, and God, this is going to be critical, and I don't mean it to be, no one really knows what to expect from one of these coaching searches. I don't think football can be used as a template.
There's not really a template.
Just don't really know. And that's not a criticism of Ross Bjork and his people. It's not. It's literally, it's we don't really know what to expect. I think they'd like to get something done quickly. If it's Kermit Davis, it's not getting done quickly unless it gets done quickly privately. And I think there's been some movement in that regard. But as we know from covering recruiting, a private commitment doesn't mean much.
Even at the coach level?
At any level. If I give Yahoo a private commitment and then the athletic comes to me and says, hey, we'll pay you twice as much, I'm gone. They'll get over it. We'll all get over it.
Middle Tennessee currently at 12 in the thing.
I like their chances.
Like them in the first round?
Well, it's like their chances to make the tournament.
I mean, 12 is an at-large spot. You're safe. It's all right.
Yeah. I mean, they're good enough to win a game or two in the tournament.
They have them playing a 5-seed in Ohio State in the first game.
Team built by Thad Mata.
Yeah. All comes full circle.
It all does.
Small world.
What you hear about Mata is two things. One, that he is lobbying quietly for the Pittsburgh job, which is going to open up. Kevin Stallings did not win an ACC game.
They fired him already after 2 years?
They're going to have to. There's nothing scarier than an empty arena for an AD. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday night for the Monday podcast. Had I been Ross Bjork, and he was there for the senior night, he stayed for the whole game. Had I been Ross Bjork, Saturday night would have scared the hell out of me as the athletics director, as the person who ultimately has to look at budgets and all of those
things. Yeah, Stallings is out because this is going to sound crazy. 0-16 is very self-explanatory. They were worse than that. They weren't even competitive in 75% of those games. They were terrible.
And his players hate him.
Best player might have been Parker Stewart.
Yeah.
Looking back, Parker probably could have picked a little better destination for his travels.
Probably so.
Just saying.
That whole deal.
A lot of bad decisions all the way around there.
There's a lot of...
I think Jamarco Pickett's the only dude that kind of looks up and goes, it's fine.
Yeah, it worked out for him.
I don't know how good Georgetown is or is not, but...
They're not very good. He would have played a role on
they're bad
this
too.
Ole Miss team. Yeah, they're not good.
Currently, if you're just curious for some reason, I'm staring at it. Missouri is in as an 8 seed. Lenardi has them playing Butler in the first round in an 8-9 game.
I'd watch that game.
Again, Middle's a 12. Auburn's a 3 playing Charleston in the first round.
Well, I'd watch that game.
Would you? Earl Grant against Bruce Pearl?
I just think Auburn could lose.
Oh, Auburn. If you're a 14, you want Auburn as your 3 if you can get get one.
If you're looking for an upset special in the tournament, take that 13 or 14 that's playing Auburn in the first round. Just don't put the house on it, but
just throw one on there.
Put a little expendable income on that puppy, and it might turn out well.
Got Kentucky as a 6 playing a play-in game between Texas and USC in the 11s.
Kentucky's played better as of late. They're not making noise.
You mentioned Houston with Kelvin Sampson. They've done a nice job there. 7 seed in the field as of today.
See, they're about to build him a new arena.
Here's an interesting one. 9-9 in the league. I know the RPI is great. Getting a lot of credit probably for having those guys out. A&M not just in, but a 7 seed for the Aggies.
And one of the interesting stories, because there is speculation in the business that they're going to fire Billy Kennedy.
7 seed opening against St. Mary's. St. Mary's in even though only 2 top 75 or 100 wins on the season. They could be bubbly if they don't win a tournament.
Yeah. I wish one day, one of my goals in life, is to one day look in the mirror and see myself the way Texas A&M sees itself. That is one of my goals in life. I want to one day, just for 1 minute, one glance in the mirror, look in the mirror and see in my reflection what Texas A&M sees in itself. I want to know what that feels like just one time.
You know those little SEC shorts videos that, you know, they do?
Yeah.
You could have a lot of fun with the A&M dude, with the A&M personification. Could be the most obnoxious human in history.
A&M is the girl that if she were as hot as she thinks she is, she would be an absolute smoke show.
But they do have money and stuff, so they are fairly hot. It's just she's like a 12 on the crazy side of the matrix, right?
Yeah.
Is she?
But she's a good-looking girl, but she thinks she's...
So she's like a 7, but she's 12 crazy.
Yeah, she's like a 7 to 8 hot who thinks she's a 13... And on the 1 to 10 crazy scale, she's off the charts. You can't even find her on the graph. Like, you know, he tries to draw the line.
Yeah.
You can't
it's up
the
on
line.
The wall over
it's
here to the right.
It's an infinite number out there. There's no way to draw it. You don't have the ability to make that completely off the hot crazy scale.
SEC programs on the hot crazy scale would be a really good thing.
That would be. That's a podcast.
Yeah. That's good.
That's a podcast.
Might be a Friday. Let me prepare a little for that one.
A&M's way out there, though. They're on the crazy. They're just...
Is there a marriage potential one in the SEC? Mm. We'll tease here. We'll talk about it Friday. But
one came to mind right away.
Okay.
I mean, save it or use it?
Give it to me. We'll go.
South Carolina.
Ooh, Carolina. Okay.
Fairly hot. Not super hot. Not so hot that you got to worry about her every time she walks out the door. And not all that crazy.
Really committed? They fill up the stadium?
Yeah, not crazy.
Not especially crazy. Relatively not crazy.
Yeah. Wants to be treated well, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Send her some flowers, and she's happy.
Tennessee getting a 3 seed against Montana as of today.
They're good now.
If you told me one made a run, that's
talk to some coaches who think that's a team that could make a deep run. Rick Barnes has done a great job with that team. And that team, at the risk of this sounding really cliche, according to people who are coached against them, that team is full of good kids.
Okay.
Very selfless. Really like each other. The chemistry's great.
Arkansas Razorbacks in currently as a 7 seed. They would get Providence in round 1.
Give me any team with a coach against Arkansas in the first round that I'm all in.
You don't think he's a good coach, do you?
The worst coach team in the league. Athletic as hell, but they're awful.
Alabama currently in the play-in game, in the field as of right now.
Well, if you offered that to Avery Johnson right now, he jumps.
Yes.
Avery Johnson has never seen a place prettier than Dayton in his life.
he would be in the play-in game against UCLA, and if he won it, he'd get to go to Wichita and play the TCU Horned Frogs.
He would take that right now. No questions.
Okay. Florida and Mike White, a 5 seed, opening with Bob Marlin's Louisiana Lafayette team in the first round.
Florida's a team in St. Louis that could probably increase their seed by a spot.
Yeah.
They're playing a lot better. Had two really good weeks. Mike's doing this without their best player.
Yeah, I forgot that. Last four in, Alabama was the very last team in the field in this projection.
Yeah. They probably don't need to lose. Do they play A&M Thursday?
I don't know.
Probably don't need to lose that game.
A&M really doesn't need to lose that game.
No.
That's a sort of fun game on a Thursday in St.
The
Louis.
The SEC tournament, as it goes on to Thursday and Friday, has a chance to be interesting. Wednesday night's not interesting at all.
Well, I mean, that's by design.
Always the case.
Yeah.
Mark Fox is the executioner is waiting outside the door.
It's like the guillotine is there.
There are literally rumors that Mark Fox will be let go in St. Louis as soon as they lose.
He was a hot name.
He was. He won at Nevada.
Does that hurt Musselman? The last guy to do it?
Doesn't help him, but it doesn't hurt him. The consensus is that he's taking one of these West jobs.
Staying out there.
Yeah. Don't hear his name at all.
And not even a peep.
And he's a guy that if I'm Ole Miss, I send the plane out to Reno and say, how much?
What do you?
Why not?
Yeah.
We look awfully good.
Yeah.
Here's the concern on Mata. We got off track a little bit on Mata. The concern on Mata is he healthy enough to coach a team? Yes. Is he healthy enough to go bang the recruiting trail? I don't know. And for how long? Could he do it 5 years? Because 1 year of Thad Mata and then you're having to replace him is not ideal. Could he do it for 5 years? Because this is a rebuild, guys.
That's the number. If I hire a coach, I want to not have to hire him for multiple reasons or whatever the reason is for 5 years. That's my goal. In today's college athletics world, 5 years.
Unless it's a young coach and I lose him in 3 years because that son of a bitch just took me to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And then I probably have a good roster.
Yeah, I'll go get another one.
And now I'll go get another one because he probably would have invigorated the pavilion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I can sell my program.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you're Ross Bjork, let's face it, you're selling abstract.
The possibility.
Yeah, it's a great arena, and it is. It's an awesome arena. But no one's really seen it rock.
It's less of an environment than Tad Smith Coliseum.
So far.
Yeah,
well, it's
so
got amenities.
Far.
People can go hang out. People hang out up there in the club area, and they're just talking to one another. And then people go to the restaurants and stuff. And if the game's not good, you hang out. It's
Tad Smith, you're kind of watching the game.
Well, there's no creature comforts at Tad Smith. Hey, today the popcorn's not quite as stale. Good day.
Yeah, we're all just kind of utilitarian in this thing.
I mean, you don't even want to drink much at Tad Smith because those, God only knows what happens down in those troughs, you know? I mean, now it's a different creature.
Hey, let's move over and get away from this asbestos.
The one I love is when he calls David Brand out to half court. He goes, look up there. And David's like, what? He goes, you see that blue spot? And David's like, yeah. And he goes, that's the bleeping sky. Justify your existence.
Takes a certain player to play for him. I mean,
I know. And that's my point. There are people at Ole Miss that are like, Andy's too hard on his players. I'm like, and you want Kermit Davis? Be careful. I mean, and again, I'm not saying Kermit's not a good coach. Kermit is a very good coach, as is evidenced by the product that he's putting on the floor in Murfreesboro. But I'm just saying, he builds rosters the exact same way Andy Kennedy did and treats his players worse.
Yeah. All right. Who won't treat you worse? MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And now for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners, a couple different power washing options. You get a $50 discount on the pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet or a free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks if you sign an annual contract. 662-607-7773.
The Moonlight Grahams are a brand new folk band from Nashville, Tennessee. It started by Ole Miss graduate John McCann. The album was released late last week. It's on Spotify and iTunes. The Moonlight Grahams are an organic, genuine style of music. It features the banjo, the acoustic guitar, the steel pedal. If you like the A-Bit Brothers and Mumford & Sons, you'll love the Moonlight Grahams. Make sure to like their Facebook page, their Instagram page. Share it on your Spotify playlist. Stay tuned for more information regarding shows in the Nashville area. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories. Recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The Grove Bowl is April the 7th. Ole Miss back on the practice field today. We'll have some coverage at rebelgrove.com, which is a website affiliated with rivals.com and Yahoo. We'll have that later on in the day. And the podcast brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email at ha@harryalexander.com.
Ole Miss baseball, big notable thing, the midweek and the Friday night game switched to 6:30 now, 4 o'clock for the first few weeks of the season, 6:30 starting tonight. Austin Peay is in town to face the Rebels. Houston Roth will make his third straight Tuesday start for Ole Miss tomorrow.
Let's go, Peay.
Yes, that's it. Ole Miss tomorrow night stays at home, second game of a five-game homestand. Playing Arkansas Little Rock is the team tomorrow. I think they just go by Little Rock now. I don't think they actually go by Arkansas Little Rock. But
that's good.
You fine with that?
Yeah. I'd rather be Little Rock. It'd be like being University of Oklahoma at Tulsa. I'd rather just be Tulsa. Even though it's not the same thing. But I'd rather just be Little Rock.
Well, I mean, Long Beach was just Long Beach instead opposed to California State University at Long Beach.
Yeah, like Santa Barbara, which would be cool. Hey, we're Santa Barbara. They go, we're UCSB.
Yeah.
I'd rather be, we're Santa Barbara. Kind of sounds sexy.
However, you have an issue with Louisiana Lafayette wanting to be Louisiana.
When they could just be Lafayette.
They can't. There already is a Lafayette.
They could be the other Lafayette.
You can't have two Lafayettes.
There's lots of Loyolas. Nobody ever says anything.
I do get confused on the Loyola thing.
Where it is confusing.
Which Loyola we're actually talking about.
Because there's Loyola in Louisiana. And there's
Illinois.
Loyola in Chicago.
Yeah.
And there's probably another damn Loyola somewhere.
Athletically, typically it's Chicago.
Yeah, they just won their league.
Did they?
Yeah, they won the tournament.
They were the team that State was going to play when they had to, like, sneak out in the NCAA tournament. The book Kyle Vesey wrote.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was Loyola, I believe.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, they just won their tournament, yeah. Got an NCAA bid.
Okay. Tomorrow against Little Rock, Jordan Fowler making his first career start, the freshman left-hander. So, yeah, 6:30, Houston Roth and Ole Miss against Austin Peay. And then Little Rock tomorrow, Eastern Illinois over the weekend. So, a lot of Ohio Valley flavor here in the midweek here recently. And then next week is Georgia State. They're a Sun Belt team, but Little Rock might be Sun Belt too. Little Rock and Sun Belt?
Yeah.
And Sun Belt. They're a decent basketball program, aren't they?
Yeah, they're okay.
They're pretty good.
They're okay. Had their moments.
Have they?
The great Derek Fisher played at Little Rock.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
Good players out of those smaller Arkansas schools. Central Arkansas, Little Rock.
Yeah, Central Arkansas produced a pretty good one.
He's okay.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah. So, story up at RebelGrove.com. A couple notes. First on the rankings, Ole Miss remained at number 9 in baseball in D1 baseball. Also made a huge jump in the coaches poll, moving from 19 to 9 this week. So, don't have coronaries now when it goes on SEC Network. SEC Network, for whatever reason, uses the coaches poll, so it'll move up. It'll show 9, I would assume, instead of 19 this week, so you can stop messaging me about that. Baseball America, they remained at number 12, if I am right in saying. So, 9, 9, and 12, the national rankings. The SEC has 5 of the top 10 teams in the country in D1 baseball, led by number 1 Florida, number 5 Arkansas, number 6 Kentucky, 9 Ole Miss, and 10 Texas A&M. I think LSU, State, and Auburn are also in the poll, if I have that right. At least a couple of those are. Auburn off to a torrid start, still winning behind Casey Mize on Friday nights.
BYU the other day.
Yeah, they beat a pretty good Bryant team last weekend. Nobody knows anything about Bryant, but they're
always
good.
In the tournament.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good. So, no, Auburn's – if you told me right now that I was wrong about one, I think it's Auburn if Casey Mize stays healthy. I think they have a chance to – I don't want to say depends on your definition of contend, but be much better than maybe I gave them credit for being. I think Bama, that's just smoke and mirrors. I don't think that's going to last. They're not good enough, but especially getting into the SEC where every week you're seeing a dang top 12 team. I mean, it's just it is what it is. But
it's a big year for Casey Mize.
There's some talk about 1-1, 1-2, 1-3.
You talk about a dude that every Friday goes, please, dear God, please.
Because the arm's not 100%. I mean, he's the guy that seriously could get drafted like 3rd, and then they do the physical and do the Tyler Hensley, Scott Biddle thing where they go, I don't know. And if you're Mize, do you take a discounted deal?
Depends on what it is, but what you're, I mean, you know.
We're speculating. I hope he stays healthy, obviously.
I do too. I mean, I never cheer for him. He's really good.
He's a power guy with a lot of command.
Yeah, you don't think baseball likes that, do you? That's what I'm saying. Hey, Theo, you can have this power arm. He's got really good command, got some good off-speed stuff. Interested? Nah, we're good.
But, I mean, you know, he has the pitchability of a guy that throws 89, I guess is the point.
I know, and the velocity of a guy that throws 96.
Yeah, so it's like, well.
That's 1-1 stuff. You can command a fastball and throw off-speed stuff for strikes? Yeah, you're getting paid. But the arm's not 100%.
Yeah, see, I have no ability to see his medical records, obviously. I would be terrified of him. I would pass.
I'd be terrified to be his coach at Auburn. I don't want that hanging on my resume.
6'3", 220-pound, big kid.
Oh, dude.
It's all there if the arm's there.
Every single thing that you look for. Like, literally, in that conversation with Theo, he would say, how big? About 6'3", 220. Athletic? Yeah, pretty athletic. Smart kid? Yeah.
How's this for a line? Last year, I just pulled it up because I knew it was good. I didn't know how good. 2017, he had 13 appearances, 12 starts. He went 8-2 on the season, 2 complete games, 83 innings, 109 strikeouts, 9 walks.
Whew.
109-9. I'd pass. I'd be scared to death. And when he turns out to be Nolan Ryan in 5 years, I'm fired, but I would pass.
No, I get it.
210 batting average against last year. 179 so far this year.
What's OPS against? Do you have it?
No, I do not have it on his line here.
Whew.
But I can tell you he's given up 5 extra base hits in 16 innings. That's just kind of high so far. So they've hit him a little hard at times. But last year he gave up 18 extra base hits in 83 innings.
Mm. You'd pass.
The college baseball world is really worried about his arm.
Elbow or shoulder?
I think it's elbow. I'm not 100%, but I think it's elbow. Yeah,
they fix these elbows, man.
They do. It's ACLs now. It's whatever.
Shoulder.
Had I said labrum, you'd be over.
I'd pass. That kind of stuff, elbow, I might just roll the dice. Look at all the dudes in Major League Baseball that have had Tommy John. They come back better.
Auburn classified it as arm fatigue all year last year when he missed a start and was kind of whatever.
But he didn't have surgery, and he's back dealing right now.
Oh, he's good, yeah. Maybe it's really just arm fatigue, but you know what I mean. Arm fatigue always, to me, when I first hear it, I go, I don't know. Because so many times that's a lie to where when it's right, it's kind of be it's got to be proven to be right for
me. Well, and the following is going to sound like a criticism of the game, but in this part of the country, meaning the Southeast, the Southwest, where it's become a year-round game, you do worry about the wear and tear on a kid as he develops. Is he throwing too damn much? And so is that the fatigue or is that the injury? Is that fair? I mean, they play year-round down here in Texas, Arizona, California, Florida. I mean, these kids in Mississippi or in Alabama are playing around the year-round. They're throwing all year.
It actually was a I'm reading here now. It was a forearm issue.
Oof, that's usually elbow-related. But again, if you offer me all of those things and tell me his labrum is fine, his shoulder is fine, there's a chance we're going to have to do Tommy John. Okay.
We'll do Tommy John.
They've mastered that down to the day.
Yeah. No, it's an ACL, except higher, probably higher percentage than ACL.
It's 1 year.
Yeah.
It's not 10 months. It's not 17 months. It's 1 year.
And he's not a kid that's got to stick in some development program, so you're not overly worried that he's 21 already.
Using the Cubs as an example, Drew Smyly had the Tommy John. Cubs signed him to a two-year deal. They're like, well, he might be able to help us in August or September this year, but if not, he's in our rotation in 19. We're good. There's not even a, well, we're a little concerned about how he'll come back. Nope, there's no concern about how he'll come back.
Yeah, I haven't seen any gun readings during the actual regular season, but the first day of practice even in the spring, he touched 95 twice.
Whew. I understand why you would pass.
If I was your GM and you're a fan, though, you'd be questioning it right now.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's one of those deals. It'd be who am I passing for? What bat am I taking in that spot? I'm not passing on him to take a lesser pitcher with more health.
Especially if it's elbow.
Yeah, I can repair that elbow. I know I can repair the elbow.
Well, I mean, your other options, I mean, you could take Brady Singer, the kid at Florida. Not as much pitchability as Casey Mize.
Then I don't want him as much.
A lot of people have Singer 1-1, and he's dynamic. When he is on, he is fantastic.
Because he throws the hell out of it, right?
Throws the hell out of it. And his best day is as good as anybody's best day. But I've seen him at times where I go, it's okay. He's all right. He's not as consistently dynamic to me as Mize is.
If I'm going 1-1 on a pitcher, I'm taking a dude who is dynamic.
There's a kid at South Florida. I don't know as much. I don't know a lot about him.
I'm taking a Noah Syndergaard type, who's just a difference maker.
Take a high school player.
Oh, I don't know. Pitcher.
Yeah.
No.
People are really high on an Ethan Hankins kid from Forsyth, Georgia.
I'm sure he's a stud.
6'6", 210, right-hander.
Just terrified of high school pitchers.
It would be a bargain here. Currently, the draft that I'm looking at, projections, and now this hasn't been updated in a long time, so this is probably wrong. Let's keep that in whatever. It was last updated December 21st, but on December 21st, they had Mize going 6. He's going higher than 6.
Yeah.
The Mets would be – Mickey Callaway would be very happy at 6.
Well, that's the other thing about college pitchers is that they're not far from the bigs. Pitching at the SEC level is pitching high A, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's not quite double A.
Yeah, it's high A.
It's high A ball.
It's probably in the middle, but yeah, it's right in there.
Yeah, it's a very quality high A ball.
Yeah.
That's a compliment, people, in case you're thinking I'm slamming it. Those kind of kids can make it to double A. Casey Mize could be pitching in double A in a year.
SEC names in this thing. Otherwise, the other kid at Florida is going at 11 to the Orioles, Jackson Cower. Ryan Rollison 12 to the Blue Jays in this projection. I really like Logan Gilbert, a right-handed pitcher from Stetson. They've got him 15 to the Rangers. Kid from South Alabama at 16 overall, I see here as I'm looking. Tristan Pompey, Kentucky, an outfielder, 20 to the Twins. Sean Jelly, the ace of Kentucky, a 30th pick to the Dodgers. Mississippi State ace Connor Pilkington, 29 to the Indians in this draft. And has the Cubs taking Tristan Casas, a first baseman, third baseman, quarter infielder, 6'4" from American Heritage High School.
I trust Theo.
Whatever he wants to do is cool.
Whatever Theo says is good. I'm good.
You really have just balled in.
Why wouldn't you?
You're good. Used to, I'd come in and you go, I don't know why he's doing that. Like, no. And now it's fine.
If Theo tells me that there is alien life next door, I'm like, yeah, how about that? Who knew? I trust Theo.
It's amazing what rings and trophies will do.
It is.
Really just contending, though.
3 straight years in the NLCS, I'm all in.
Yeah. You're paid to figure it out. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm having a hard time getting negative about this year's team. Like, I'm searching for negatives, and I don't really have many.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. Like, Hayward's not going to hit, but Hayward hadn't hit for 2 years, and they've won anyway. It's the dryer. It sounds like alien life.
It sounds like someone's rattling bowls or dishes or something.
Yeah. It's just money.
Is that the same dryer that plays the music when it's done?
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Yep.
That's not terrible. Mine does that weird, obnoxious sound that makes the big, like, buzzing sound when it goes off. Drives me nuts. I feel like I'm in the middle of a laundromat.
Yeah.
I always turn it off. Can't
that plays the...
It's actually kind of pleasant.
It is kind of a nice little melody.
Yeah, there's a weird pleasantness to that. Podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs, 662-252-231. Go get your sildenafil. You can pay $10 instead of $50 or $60 for the little blue pill. Same length of effectiveness as the other guys. Get you ready in as little as 15 minutes. 15-minute quickie there with sildenafil. So go to the website, fill out the form. Give them doctor's name, look at the prescription ready, and deliver it wherever you are. 662-252-2321.
In what world is 15 minutes a quickie?
No, get you ready in 15 minutes. Okay. I think they're setting a very high bar, Mr. Kurt McCready. We need to all get together and lower the...
Remember what I told you about just one day looking in the mirror and seeing what Texas A&M sees? Yeah, that applies. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete inventory of the new 2018s, previously owned vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Make sure you tell Gene and Sandy you heard about the dealership on the podcast or at RebelGrove.com. That will pay off for you. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have 3 attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one with Robert Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide. And in Memphis, for more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga All Underwriting and Processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing in Oxford if you're interested in that. And you get the flow down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Run across this chart yesterday. I don't know who it was from. Of money that NFL teams have spent on their quarterback position since 2003.
Ooh.
Okay. So over 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Who do you think is number one? What team has spent the most money on quarterback play in the last 15 years? And there's some weird parts to this a little bit because you got to remember, you know, rookie deals were insane for a while and different things. I wouldn't have guessed this. It would have taken me several minutes to get to this.
The Cleveland Browns?
The Cleveland Browns are 26th.
Oh, I'm way off.
Cleveland has spent $55 million in 15 years, and their highest-paid quarterback during that period earned $15 million, and that was Brock Osweiler, of all people.
Green Bay.
Green Bay is 8.
Okay.
$94 million. Aaron Rodgers has gotten 86 of that 94.
Okay. The New York Giants?
The New York Giants were 104 million, Eli Manning 97 million during that time.
I should have grown up to be a quarterback.
These are kind of on the right track though of how this thing works. That's in that realm.
New England?
Tom Brady, quite the bargain. 15th. Tom Brady, wow. 74 million, 80 for the team of the Patriots since 2003. It's hard.
This is hard. I'm trying to kind of rack my brain about San Diego?
The San Diego Chargers are, let's see, 7. Phillip Rivers, $93 million, 101 for the team.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is in the same realm. They're 6th. You're doing pretty good top 10. Ben Roethlisberger, $88 million. The Steelers at $102 million.
What the hell am I missing?
You're missing a couple big deals that
Detroit,
people
the
got.
Lions.
Number 2, Matthew Stafford, $111 million. 119 for the team since 2003. Very, very similar deal here at number one. But it's hard to remember. You forget this dude. He has a Super Bowl.
Flacco? The Ravens?
Baltimore Ravens, number one.
Son of a bitch.
Joe Flacco, $112 million.
Joe Flacco got $112
million? He's earned since 2003, $112 million.
It's a great country.
Quarterbacks for the Ravens, $119 million, number one.
What a great country we live in, huh?
Beating out the Lions by about $114,000, $116,000.
What a country.
Ravens, Lions, Giants, Falcons, Bears, Steelers, Chargers, Packers, Chiefs, Cardinals, top 10. Saints at 11, Panthers at 12, Eagles at 13. Your bottom 5, Buffalo, New York Jets, Buccaneers, Jaguars, and Titans.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, a little.
No, that's really interesting.
A little factoid there.
That's pretty interesting stuff.
So,
and you know what? Here's what you go back through that list and you say, who got the bargains? Whose investment paid off?
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore.
They have a ring. They it paid off if you have a ring.
If you have a ring, it's true.
Yeah, no matter what, you have a ring, it worked.
The Giants are like, we're all good. Pittsburgh, we're good.
Detroit, no.
Detroit, no. No, not at all.
Atlanta?
It's so close.
They're not mad, but it's there.
There's no buyer's regret.
Pittsburgh,
there.
More than happy.
Oh, shit, I'm shoot you.
Atlanta's in that Chargers realm, except a little higher class. It's been fine. It's not his fault, but no.
Yeah.
But no. We could have done something else. Packers are cool.
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No, no, no.
No.
Arizona.
Mm.
Maybe.
God, they're okay. They've had a moment.
Saints are cool.
Oh, yeah. Ring.
Panthers are in that Atlanta what might have been situation.
Yeah, they're close.
Eagles more than content right now.
Yeah.
They're fine. Colts are a big fat no. Now, look, they get the Manning part of it, but they paid Andrew Luck the most money in this time period.
I love the people second-guessing the Luck thing. Not a damn soul second-guessed Luck when it happened.
No. Cowboys, no.
No.
Denver, yes.
Yeah.
Because they got rings.
Got a ring.
Miami, no.
No.
And then from there, it's kind of whatever because we're already at 19-20. You didn't spend a lot of money. So, right. I mean, the only big bargain here, and then, look, he did it. He gets the ring, too. Your bargain down there would be 20, which is the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, huge. So that's your other one down the list a little bit. 24, here's an interesting. Did they get their money's worth? Cincinnati Bengals. Haven't done a ton, but only 24th in money.
Yes.
So it's a yes.
Yes. Andy Dalton is a consistent top 12 NFL quarterback in the regular season. He does.
And you're not spending what...
Can't get him any further, but for what he's getting paid, I don't know that he's supposed to get him any further.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I was watching NFL films. They do such a phenomenal job.
They do.
Did you see there's like 9 minutes of Nick Foles?
I did not.
So calm.
Like wired up from the Super Bowl?
Wired for the Super Bowl from start to finish.
I really like those things, so I want to watch it. But
so calm. So cool, confident. Players love him. If I'm another team, I'm like, yeah, you know what? What do they want for Foles?
A lot.
I'm kind of thinking I'm in.
They want a lot.
Well, I'm in.
They're saying they need more than just the first and the fourth or whatever it is.
I get it. Because if I'm Philly, I'm like, I'm watching that going, why are we trading this guy?
Best insurance policy in the league, and my other quarterback still coming back from surgery.
I'm not giving him away.
Super Bowl MVP.
Quick release. I didn't realize how quick of a release he had until you just kind of study him. How's that happen? They get two elite quarterbacks.
It's my favorite underrated deal is that pathetic Rams team from a couple years ago had Case Keenum and Nick Foles on it as the quarterbacks.
How does that happen? It's all about right place, right time, systems.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing around them. Jeff Fisher was terrible. I mean, it was whatever.
And Peterson, 10 years ago, was coaching high school football.
Mm-hmm. He was. This morning on the way to, or not on the way, but my child going to daycare this morning, I put a dirt bag shirt on her. How many looks she going to get at school that understands?
Well, some people will be upset that you've turned. You
think so?
You went out and picked out a new favorite team, and then other people won't know, and they'll be like, what is this?
I think you're good as long as you don't do, like, SEC teams or, like, anybody they play. Like, I've got a bunch of random crap from different places in college baseball. Like, you know, Ole Miss plays Gonzaga in basketball. I don't think people would get offended by Gonzaga shirts. It's a whole different deal. I've got, like, workout shirts that are Tulane and Duke. I think both those are probably okay.
Yeah, you're safe there.
Probably all right. But
probably can't bust out the Arkansas shirt.
Yeah. Like Kellenberger was like, yeah, you're getting a note home. It's whatever. I was like, I'm not getting a note home, but
no. I keep hearing dirt bags and I think it's one of the it's like a rec team. It's like a travel team.
Yeah, you still have not wrapped your mind around that very well.
It's a blue collar travel team. Like a team full of kids, their dads are truckers.
It's not what Mountain Brook's calling their travel team.
It's like the team from Hueytown, you know?
Bessemer.
Yeah.
Demopolis.
Yeah. My dad runs a bowling alley. Well, my dad works in the steel mines. My dad drives a truck. We're the dirt bags.
We're playing the Royals tomorrow for Mountain Brook.
Yeah. They don't wear caps. They wear crowns. They don't take infield practice. They pay someone to take infield practice for them.
I see what's weird, though, is that, you know, that they're the 49ers and everything else, Long Beach. Yeah. I saw no shirts in that entire park for 3 days that said 49ers on.
Everything said dirtbags.
And I don't mean like, oh, yeah, a lot of people had their team stuff on. Everyone in attendance had on something that said dirtbags.
That's cool.
It was 95% of the crowd, of the Long Beach crowd, had dirtbags on.
It's catchy.
Every single kid had toboggans with dirt bags across the front of them. Southern California toboggans, ladies and gentlemen, was good.
Sure, sure.
Every woman had some shirt with dirtbags on it. Every dude's wearing a baseball jersey with Long Beach State or a
Well, you got cold out there Friday night. You probably wished you had a toboggan.
Dude, I was freezing all weekend. That layer wasn't no joke.
That marine layer is a different deal now.
That's what I was laughing with Mike after Saturday's games, because I walked down and he goes, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm freezing." And he goes, "It wasn't that bad down here." I was like, "No, get up there." I was like, "Even just as low as this stadium is, up around that press box," I said, "the wind was kicking." And kind of had discussion about it.
I told you about it before you went out there. I said, "Hey, you better dress warm."
It was in the low 50s, and it felt like it was 30. I mean, seriously. Even on Sunday, it was really nice weather, but that wind was still popping. I still had on a pullover and had a cup of hot chocolate at one point during the game.
What's that here?
Even on Sunday,
it's damp, cold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it'll chill you to your bones.
Yeah, I was tired of being cold.
Yeah.
I was very tired of being cold, but anyway.
You caught up on your sleep? Adjusted to your hour change?
Yeah, I mean, you know this. I'm so weird. I'm so routine oriented that just getting back, everything kind of regulated for me. I mean, I'm not a good traveler. I mean, I'm bad. I feel bad. I can't get into any kind of routine. It's not good. Physically, I'm a mess when I travel.
Yeah,
even just a day or two around Auburn or something.
You went to Omaha. It took you about a month to recover.
Oh, dude. Well, it came right after Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, yeah. That was a mess. Well, I didn't.
Well, y'all ate really bad in Lafayette. You sort of deserved it.
I didn't take care of myself in Lafayette very much.
You did. You ate very poorly.
I was eating poorly. There might have been a drink involved. Like, it was a.
Yeah, there might.
It was
just maybe.
It was a deal there for 10, 15 days of whatever. So.
Yeah, you did that one to yourself. That had nothing to do with your...
It was my fault.
Yes.
It was my fault. In L.A., I really took care of myself. I just got tired.
You didn't do any touristy stuff, did you?
No, I mean, I just kind of...
Chilled?
I would have done... More stuff would have happened had they not had that dang doubleheader on Saturday. The rain out Friday night sent the entire schedule into a bit of a mess, where you have 18 innings of baseball in one day, but... Anyway, it was that deal where glad I went, glad I'm back. It is what it is. And now, again, Ole Miss faces Austin Peay tonight. The Govs, speaking of elected officials in Tennessee, I see the Nashville mayor resigning today.
Oh, did she finally resign?
Yeah, I think she's finally resigning today. The timestamps on the nude photos will get you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, they'll do it.
So.
She had no chance of surviving that scandal.
It was just a matter of when, not if.
The first time I read the story, I'm like, she's done. I mean, good for her for hanging on for 2 weeks.
Got a little more pay, a little more pension coming, I guess.
I mean, man, oh, man. Yeah, you saw that. You're like, you have no chance at all.
Kind of last thing here, just if you're curious. Where is this? Let's see. ESPN article pointing out 8 teams that have a chance to win the national title. Well, never mind. I'm not going to read that. Maybe for tomorrow. They made it kind of clickbaity, and I'm not clicking through stuff. So, no, thank you. I'm done. That's the positive for The Athletic, too, is there's no weird crap around the article. It's just the text.
No, it's an interesting formula, and it appears from everything I've read to be working.
Really?
Yes. They're making money and hiring people. They started the Athletic Phoenix yesterday. They're just opening markets. Well, you're not doing that if you're not making money.
What I found most interesting about them, we'll close here. I know our sports journalism business isn't the topic everybody wants to hear. Is it's not just, hey, we've got a Dallas site and we've got a couple people. It's large staffs. And I know a lot are contributing, not staff members, but still. It's a collection of folks.
Well, they're dominating beats.
Well, that is true.
They're dominating beats.
Yeah.
And they're writing. It's really interesting. And we won't spend a lot of time here. We'll because like you said, but we can cover basketball. We covered baseball. There's football practice tonight. There's really nothing new I can add from football that we didn't cover over the weekend. There's a whole lot of football up at rebelgrove.com. It's part of the Rivals Network. It's owned by Yahoo. Go to 10 Weekend Thoughts. I think Thoughts 4 through 8 are college football. It's a lot of Ole Miss football. Anyway, what's interesting is like some of the stories they're doing are these long form, deep dives. Like yesterday, the Athletic in Phoenix did a big story about Steven Souza, the outfielder for the Rays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it was deep, deep dive stuff, which we've all been told for a while, oh, no one likes to read. No one likes to read. We heard that for the longest time in our business. I don't think that's true.
It's not. It's a perception that's been put on by advertisers and by people trying to sell ads because they think, well, the more content in their minds, okay, so you've got 2,500 loyal readers, just to make math easy.
Okay.
Well, if I write 10 really short stories, 2,000 are at least going to open it. They're going to give it a look and whatever. Well, if I write the great big story, well, I've still only got 2,500 people, so that's more time and more effort and different things. But, I mean, we get this. I mean, Rivals has done a good job giving us deeper analytics than we've ever had before as far as measuring things from time you stay on the page, where you're coming in, where you're going when you leave, and the number of readers. The short stuff, the really quick hit stuff that is kind of fluffy that we write sometimes – that 10 of those don't add up to a 10 weekend thoughts, to long form features that we do, even the story on Stacey Blackwell, the blind guy, a couple weeks ago, like that kind of stuff that actually has human interest elements.
Yeah.
It grows your audience. It grows outside just your typical dude that's kind of machine gun reading in the morning and moving on with their day. So no, it's the investment appears to pay off from a page view standpoint.
The Athletic had a big – Sahadev Sharma had a big story yesterday about Kyle Hendricks was a Cubs pitcher, was in throwing in spring training with Mike Montgomery and was just goofing around. Baseball players goof around with grips and stuff, kind of goofing around with the grip and discovered a curveball and went and started working on it. And Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach, it's basically a big part of his arsenal now, they think, this year. And they went and studied their analytics, and he was only using his curveball like 5% of the time. And once he fell behind in the count, he never used it and stuff like that. So it was deep dive. It was inside baseball. It was also about how the way he thinks, and he's a very smart guy. And I mean, not just because he's the Cubs. I like that kind of journalism. I read the Sousa story yesterday. I'm not a Diamondbacks fan. I read the story about the Dodgers. Did you read this about the Dodgers Fantasy Football League?
I did not.
The assistant GM that's there is a real analytical guy. The players let him in their league, and now he's won it year after year, and some of the players want to kick him out, and some of the players don't want him out until they beat him, but they can't beat him. He's the Patriots of their league.
Really?
Fascinating. And all the players talking about, they try to figure out how that's really good stuff. Now, to do that, and this is why I think The Athletic is going pro and not college as much.
Access and numbers. Access and ability to gauge analytics and different things.
Yes. You have bigger sample sizes.
Yeah.
162 games is a big sample size.
Well, in baseball, you have StatCast. I don't have that information for the college game.
Yeah, every time someone hits a home run, Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run, they can tell me everything about that home run in seconds.
Well, to me, it's more like the StatCast stuff on defensive stuff. Like, I know how far center fielders run to gaps and things. Because, I mean, if I really needed a home run distance and angles from Ole Miss, I could get it. But the other stuff, I have no idea.
How people are positioned and how effective their positioning is and the spin rates and all of that stuff. Anyway, they have those things, but they have the access. The college programs don't give us that kind of access. For whatever reason or reasons, college athletics has completely shut the media down and created, frankly, a very adversarial environment that doesn't have to exist. Mm-hmm. The guys that cover the Major League Baseball teams, is there ever some adversarial stuff? Well, of course, because people don't like negative stuff being written about them. The difference is, if you're Trent Rosenkranz, for example, who covers the Reds now for The Athletic in Cincinnati, he's in that clubhouse every day. He's in there every day. He writes something bad about Eugenio Suarez. He's got to look at him every day.
Yeah. And it's why, as of right now, the outlier in college sports is baseball, because you have a whole lot more access than other things for multiple reasons that I'm not getting into currently, just because we're running out of time. But
yeah, it's fascinating.
That's the whatever.
And in football, they try to close us off in an attempt to, quote, protect the player.
Counterproductive.
And it is totally counterproductive because then the player gets to Indianapolis for the combine, and everybody gets these conversations with the kids. Like yesterday, I covered Ole Miss. I covered Breland Speaks. I had no idea Breland Speaks was waving at Dan Mullen in the famous GIF.
Mm-hmm.
Gets revealed in NFL environments.
Great human interest stories that are getting passed because of the lack of access.
The only stuff you read in college basketball is about the coaches.
It's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Never read about the players. Read about the coaches.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
All right. CoverageHerbalGrove.com. Be back tomorrow and the rest of the week. Talk to you then.